Good morning. We have a couple of readings today. The first reading is from 2 Kings 4, 42-44, NIV version. A man came from Baal Shalish, bringing the man of God 20 loaves of barley bread baked from the first ripe grain, along with some heads of new grain. "Give it to the people to eat," Elisha said. "How can I set this before 100 men?" his servant asked. But Elisha answered, "Give it to the people to eat, for this is what the Lord says. They will eat and have some left over." Then he set it before them, and they ate and had some left over, according to the word of the Lord. The second reading is from Psalm 145, 10-18, NIV version. All of your works praise you, Lord. Your faithful people extol you. They tell of the glory of the kingdom and speak of your might, so that all people may know of your mighty acts and the glorious splendor of your kingdom. Your kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and your dominion endures through all generations. The Lord is trustworthy in all he promises, and faithful in all he does. The Lord upholds all who fall, and lifts up all who are bowed down. The eyes of all look to you, and give them their food at the proper time. You open your hand and satisfy the desires of every living thing. The Lord is righteous in all his ways and faithful in all he does. The Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth.
Please pray with me. Lord Jesus Christ, you have the words of eternal life. Feed us with the gift of your grace and fill us with the life of your Spirit, that we may come to believe in you, the Holy One of God. Amen. Do you remember way back in school when they used to give us those math problems that were like written out like in a paragraph? Those word problems? A train leaves Chicago heading towards Toledo, traveling at 70 miles an hour. And at the same time, a train leaves Toledo heading towards Chicago, and the traveling at 60 miles an hour. And the distance between the two cities is 260 miles. So when do the two trains meet? No? You don't have the answer? I'm not a math person. That's one of the reasons I went to seminary. There aren't any math classes at all in seminary. But I will admit that those word problems from elementary, middle, we even had some in high school. You know, they do help me in my everyday life and in ministry. So the deacons were recently presented with an example of this while they were preparing for Sunday. If we expect 20 to 25 people, how much ice cream should we get? A half gallon for each person. Yes. It took us a little bit of research to determine out what a serving size is, and that didn't seem like quite enough. And then we had to look at what the average person actually eats, and that seemed like too much. So we kind of like met in the middle there. But the one thing we neglected to calculate, deacons, was God's abundant provision. We'll find out in just a little bit how good the deacons and God's math is. I think we're fine. So our scripture for today from 2 Kings also presents us with a bit of a word problem. There's 100 men. When the Bible says 100 men, what they mean is 100 households. It's 100 men plus women and children. So it's probably closer to like 300 people. And someone has generously donated like 20 fresh home-baked loaves of bread. And 20 loaves is a lot of bread. But I think we need to do a little bit of math to see how well 20 loaves will fill these people. So my research says that depending on the loaf size and how thickly you slice it, you can get anywhere from 12 to 16 slices from a loaf of bread. And in the ancient times, they tended to slice it a little bit thicker, if they sliced it at all, to prevent excess crumbling and breakage. So I'm gonna say 12 slices per loaf just to be on the safe side. Let's say each person is gonna eat 4 slices. Some of the kids are going to eat fewer slices. Some of the adults are going to have a couple more. And so I'm estimating that they're going to need about 1,200 slices of bread. But 20 loaves is only going to give us 240 slices. We're 960 slices short. It's 80 loaves. Now, if I heard a story like this, and the nominating committee came to me recommending Elisha for deacons, I might have to question their sanity. At the very least, I probably wouldn't put him in charge of determining how much food is necessary at a potluck, and I'd surely think twice about having him make any sort of decisions about what we as a congregation can afford to do. And this must have been what the man from Baal Shalisha was thinking. Dude, I only have 20 loaves here. There are 100 hungry households. The math ain't mathin', buddy. And as this servant looks between the offering and the crowd, all he sees is scarcity. He questions not only how is this going to feed them, but how is this not going to start a riot among these hungry people? But the prophet Elisha doesn't see scarcity. Elisha sees an opportunity to bear witness to the reality and the power of God's presence among them. And so he replies that the Lord says there will be enough. And wouldn't you know it, not only was everyone fed, but there were also leftovers. Does this story sound familiar to anybody? So where else have you heard this?
Feeding of the 5,000,
exactly. And you know what? The gospel lesson in the lectionary for today is John's account of the feeding of the 5,000. The parallels, uncanny. And it comes from the same beginning question. How can we serve so many with so little? And the conclusion is the same. The conclusion is, all ate to their fill and there was food left over. So maybe it seems a little weird that I chose to focus on Elisha when such a similar story occurs with Jesus in the New Testament. But I think that Elisha is a compelling witness to the presence and the power of God. Also, I've been talking about Old Testament prophets, so I thought I'd let the theme keep going. So chapter 4 of 2 Kings is a succession of miraculous accounts that are performed by Elisha. Before this, He had filled all the countless bottles with oil for a widow so that she could pay off her debts. He raised a Shunammite's son, a Shunammite woman's son, and he purified this accidentally poisoned stew so that people could eat it. Elisha isn't trying to impress people. And each and every instance, Elisha performs these acts for the sake of others, to bring, sustain, or restore life. And most importantly, they are all executed through the power of God. Elisha foreshadows the miracle worker that we find in the New Testament, Jesus Christ. In every miracle that Elisha performs, there's this crisis that requires an immediate response. And while Elisha doesn't have the material resources on hand, he does have a powerful faith and witness that results in this constant and confident response. The other thing that Elisha has is meaningful relationships with the people. He knew the widow's late husband, who was also a prophet. The Shunammite woman was a longtime benefactor. He's a mentor and a guide to a guild of prophets. And what I see leads me to believe that God's provision isn't just material. It's relational. It's the whole person. It's the whole community that concerns God. And Psalm 145 really solidifies that for me. It's a praise psalm that celebrates the goodness and the provision of God, who lifts up the fallen and straightens up the bowed down. It's about more than thanksgiving for the fulfillment of an immediate need. It's praise for the entirety of care and generosity that God provides us, for the relationship shared between God and God's people. A pastor of mine used to say, when God blesses you, you're blessed with people, not things. And I see Elisha as a blessing in this way. A faithful person, leading with confidence and boldness. His relationship with God is the outlet for God's desire to bless and sustain all of the people. So through Elisha and Psalm 145, and also let's not forget about Jesus, we're shown how we can participate in God's abundant provisions. We can be the people who give through our very lives, through our relationships with one another and our relationship with God. There are basic necessities of life that need to be met. And that's why we do collections like for the food pantry or for the school supplies. You know, we have to have food, shelter, healthcare, clean air, fresh water. But we also, we as humans, we need more than that to be whole people. We need relationships and community. So when Elisha sees the 100 households and the 20 loaves of bread, he's doing the math too. But he sees more information in that word problem than we tend to see. He recognizes the presence and the will of God as one of the resources which can be drawn upon. A resource that can respond to the needs of God's people. And that's a very specific gift of a prophet. Being able to see when and where God's blessing will come, that's something that prophets have an eye for. So Elisha and the psalmist, they challenge us to look through the eyes of a prophet, to reach beyond that common sense measurements of the world, that those measurements that tell us, oh, there's not enough, why even bother? To recognize how God's abundant provisions are at work in the world, and to know that we are invited to participate in that. Thanks be to God. Amen.